Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for investors and business owners looking to save on taxes and build long-term wealth with Toby Mathis, an attorney, author, business owner, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, this is Toby Mathis with the Anderson Business Advisors podcast. And today we're going to be talking with Eric Dodds, who works with us on the Infinity side. But Eric is an independent fiduciary. He's out there doing stock market investing all the time. He's always in those markets. So welcome, Eric.
Thanks, Toby. Thanks for having me. Hi, everyone. Hope you're doing well today.
Give us the 5-minute sketch, the down and dirty about Eric Dodds, what you do, how you help people.
Little history about myself. Got into financial services around 2001, which was obviously a really fun time to do financial services as a .com was.
Great timing, Eric.
Yeah, it's perfect timing. I've only been through like 3 major crises in my 20-year career almost. So yeah, that was really fun to talk with people about their money when everyone's freaking out about the .com crash. And been in financial services for almost 20 years now. I tell people I kind of got my start when I was a kid. My grandfather, who's, you know, Ohio, essentially farm boy, raised 3 daughters, worked for Ohio Electric. So really just kind of a blue collar kind of a guy. But what he always loved to do was talk about stocks and dividends. And he'd come out and visit and sit me on his lap and show me the business pages and explain all that fun stuff to me. Bob Evans Farms. I still remember that one because that's a good old Ohio fast food company. And we'd look at stocks. He'd explain it to me. And I just thought it was kind of the neatest thing. I don't think it set in until I realized after I got out of the military, because while I was in the military, I was finding myself kind of helping my shipmates with, you know, they'd ask me a lot of questions. And it was a lot of fun to kind of educate them on financial topics, you know, at the time, mutual funds and retirement accounts and all that stuff. They were wondering what I was doing. So I educated them on it. And when I got out, I realized that this is what I was put on earth to do other than being a father and a husband. So that's what I've been doing the past 20 years. And married to my wife, Crystal, she says she's retired, but she's 38. She did 14 years in the school district and then
You're
retired.
You're not supposed to say your wife's age, man.
I'm in trouble, huh? She'll probably kill me. Oh, we are recording this too. She won't see it, probably. Hopefully not. We'll edit that out. Yeah, I'm in trouble.
Yeah,
there you go. So yeah, anyway, she to take care of the kids. I have 6 kids. So to take care of most of the little ones, she left the school district and the rest is history. So yeah, a lot of fun. I mean, I tell people I think one of the best jobs in the world where I get to help people with their money. And I like to do investment strategies myself. So it's a lot of fun. It's really good stuff.
And with us, just so you guys know, Eric is the does a lot of the trainings and he runs the trading rooms for our Infinity Investing. So he gets on with people and they do live trading. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Let's talk about the current marketplace because there's a lot of anxiety out there. And what do you see going on in the marketplace? We are recording this before the presidential election, just weeks prior, about 3 weeks prior. So I'm just curious, because then we can hold you to your calling here. We'll be able to say, look, what happened? Eric was so wrong. Now, what do you think is going to, what do you think is taking place?
Well, we can go back and say how great of a prediction when we did one of these, you know, back in April, right? When we came and we looked and said, hey, everyone's freaking out. And I think your comment was these things don't last. So what are we seeing now? Let's go back a little bit. We had a run up from an absolute slicing at the knees, right? COVID just took the market down at a rapid pace, lots of panic, lots of uncertainty as things seemed to stabilize a little bit and things became a bit more certain. Obviously the market worked its way back up. You've got a couple sides of the fence right now. You've got some saying, hey, things are exhausted. They've got at a high point. Like, when is this going to come back down? People fearing they missed out. I look at the month of September was a very volatile month. You know, when I look at the charts, it was a lot of fluctuation in September. Coming into October, it's kind of in a choppy range. I think everyone's just, that's a question we get the most right now is, you know, what's going to happen? And we're kind of in this choppy range as everything is coming into the election cycle. No one really wants to commit one way or another.
I think they've priced in the blue wave. Is that, because I've heard a few folks mention that the market thinks there's stimulus coming. So that's why it's...
Right. I think what they may have already priced in is the election and that it could already be priced in. And the fact that if it's Democrats all the way down the ballot, that come February, right, once everything is settled, that there could be bigger, better, huger, more stimulus coming, right? So
yeah, I've heard $7 trillion, just freakish numbers.
Yeah. So again, we'll see where that happens. And it's interesting as all this is going on. What I'm telling people is this, and I deal with a lot of, I get to talk with a lot of traders one-on-one and just investors in general who have questions. But for the traders out there, if there's trepidation or fear or worries about, what's going to happen in the market with the election cycle, hopefully you've had a really good run up and your portfolio looks really good from March lows until, where we're at now. Take some of your winnings off the table if you want. You don't have to be actively out there doing trading every day, every minute, every hour if you don't want. So there's nothing wrong with kind of pumping the brakes and
do you ever have people just buy a put and protect a position? Or do you just kind of stay away from that stuff?
There are a lot of different ways to hedge. That's not necessarily my preferred way you can do it. But
What's your preferred way?
I think there's some other hedging instruments out there that you can do. I mean, I like using the volatility indices, or you can even use some of, VXX, not a recommendation. Obviously, as a financial advisor, you have to look at it. But one thing that we look at adding in a portfolio are some of the volatility instruments that are there.
Is that an inverse market position? Is that something that goes opposite? So if the market tanks, it's going to pop up?
Exactly. Generally speaking, which was interesting leading into September, if you look at the charts, while the S&P was continuing to run up leading into September, VIX was also working its way up. So normally those two things should not be, and so were bonds as well. And normally those should not be working in unison.
Yeah, they're going inverse, right?
Right. So it's kind of a little bit of a sign of, hey, maybe there's some, so you can use those as kind of a, hey, what's coming down the pipeline. Again, it's not going to be a perfect indicator, but that is a way that you can use a hedge is some of the volatility instruments that are out there that they've got. Those would be things I would say those are not necessarily good long-term holdings because they can, essentially they're using hedging instruments to hedge. So they can depreciate and it can depreciate. If you look at the chart of say VXX, it spikes and then falls back off and spikes and falls back off. So something that if you wanted to hedge in the short term, you could certainly do that and then add on some advanced strategies on top of that.
What's another way that you tell people to kind of protect them from all this volatility?
I think cash balance is important. I mean, we do a lot of option strategies. So I mean, some of the things that we look at is you can still not be fully invested and still generate nice income on your portfolio that relative that.
Yeah. So let's say I'm sitting on some cash, then I could do a covered put. Is that what you're looking at? Something like that?
Yeah. I get pretty in depth on the charts, right? So I would look and say, I'm not going to rush into a trade one way or another. I'm going to try and take the opportunities as they come to me and wait for things to come to me. Mm-hmm. And then, as you said, sell puts against it so I can generate some income. Really, I'm not fully committed to the equity in that way. I don't own the shares, so I don't get the dividends. But all I'm saying is if this thing falls any further, right, if this stock or ETF falls further, then I get to buy it at a discount. Meanwhile, I've been paid to do it, right?
Explain what that means, because some people are not big stock traders out there. Just explain when we're talking about a put, what it is and how you're using it.
So with any transaction, there's going to be a buyer and a seller, right? So I tend to lean more on the selling side of options, right? I like to be the insurance company, not the insured, or the casino, not the gambler. And so when you sell a put, what you're saying is I'm committing this amount of cash. Let's say I'm going to use Coca-Cola as an example, which is hovering around $50 right now. I could sell a put on Coca-Cola, let's say at the $49 strike price that says, if Coca-Cola goes down to $49, I'm willing to buy 100 shares. So I have to tie up $4,900 of my capital, right? 100 shares worth at $49 strike price to have there as collateral in case Coca-Cola gets to $49. As the premium seller, right? As the one who sold the option, the premium buyer or the buyer of the option has to pay me a premium, right? So I actually can use that income and effectively generate income off of my cash and use that as capital that if Coca-Cola does get to $49, I buy the shares and I'll start turning around and selling options against it. So
right. A put is a fancy way of saying to somebody, you can make me buy it at a certain price.
Right.
So if Coca-Cola is at 50 and you'd buy it at 50, you can sell a put at $49.
Right.
And say, you can make me buy it at 49. I'm not going to buy it at 50 right now, but you can force me to buy it at 49. If you buy it at 50, then 49 is great. And not only do you buy it at 49, but they pay you so they can force you to buy it at 49.
Yeah, it's funny. Actually, I had a conversation this morning with someone where they asked, you know, that wasn't fully, I don't think it was all fully registering yet about how the puts were. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, if I want to buy it at 47.50, why don't I just watch it every day? And then when it gets to 47.50, I'll buy it. And I said, well, wait, it's here's the way it works. You can either wait or you can get paid to wait. Which one sounds better to you, right? I'd rather get paid to wait for it to come down.
This is if you have the cash sitting aside. So yep. What we don't ever talk about is naked puts. That's when you're selling somebody the right to make you buy something where you don't have the cash or the yes. shares. You make yeah. sure you have the cash aside just so that we're keeping them out of trouble.
Yeah. And even worse than that would be a naked call, right? Where effectively you have an unlimited amount of risk there because you have to sell them the shares. And if you don't have those shares, now you're sitting out there. You got to buy them at whatever that going rate is.
And no naked. We'll just make it real simple. Yeah. No naked. Exactly. You always got to be covered. Just remember that. We don't run around exposing ourselves to the public.
So. Even though we're on Zoom calls and they can't see us from the waist down.
That's right. No, make sure you're covered. That's interesting. What are some of the things that the people you work with are doing that's been successful recently?
So again, it goes back to the charts. And I think the biggest thing for if you're going to be an investor or a trader is to have a system, right? You know, mm-hmm. not every system is going to be right for you, but discipline. So you could go on YouTube and see 800 different opinions of when to buy and sell and when to do this. Pick what works well for you. Keep it simple and focus on that discipline and be disciplined going into the trades. And again, I guess my world usually revolves around a lot of the Dividend Kings and Aristocrats or other stocks, but Dividend Kings and Aristocrats, we're educating people on how to use those and sell options.
And what are those? Just put them in a nutshell, what a Dividend King and Aristocrat.
Aristocrat is a stock that's paid dividends for at least 25 years. So they've made it to an elite club where they've paid and raised dividends for 25 years. A king is one that's done it for 50 years. So again, doesn't mean that they are, again, completely prevented from going down, but we're trying in the infinity model of that is we're trying to filter the universe to stocks who have had a lot of that, you know, that have had a lot of consistency in them.
So compare that with a growth stock. Like everybody hears about Apple and Facebook and Netflix and Google and they're chasing after these things and Tesla is going to go up $1 million, you know. What's the difference between a dividend king or aristocrat philosophically from a growth stock?
I would say it's just that, growth versus value, right? So on the kings and aristocrats, those are value stocks. You're not paying for the 20% up years or 50% up years or whatever it may be. You're paying for the consistency. I guess an analogy, you know, I got a lot of, you know, I like sports. So a good sports analogy is you've got your singles and doubles, you know, hitter, that's your kings and aristocrats. And then you've got your home run hitter, but unfortunately on the home run hitters, they can sometimes strike out, right? And that's your growth stocks.
It's McGuire.
So yeah, that's McGuire. I love McGuire. I loved watching him play growing up.
I think he had like the most strikeouts. I forget who it was, Barry Bonds or McGuire. One of those guys just struck out like an insane amount of time, but they also bashed a lot of home runs.
Oh yeah. I'll never forget that McGuire Sosa summer though, where they were just both going neck and neck, you know, hitting home runs back and forth. That was pretty cool. So yeah, that's what I would look at it. And so your lineup, right? Your all-star team has to be your all-star team, right? You're going to be the ones drafting these players. If you want a couple of home run hitters in there, that's up to you, but just know those are going to operate a lot different than a king and aristocrat where it's tends to be more stable, not all those wild fluctuations. So a little bit more consistent.
Tend to score a lot more runs. Let's just put it that way. If you're sticking to the fundamentals and doing doubles and singles, you'll get more people across home plate than if you're trying to go after home runs all the time. Not that home runs are bad. They're exciting, right? But you do have a lot of strikeouts and you have a lot of times when you go through slumps. So in a nutshell, the way I look at it is if I'm going to own something, I want it to pay me. If I'm going to own a business, I want it to pay me something. I don't want to just wonder, hey, maybe I'll sell it in 10 years and it'll double. That's not exciting to me because that's not a continuous revenue stream. What's exciting for me is if I own like a house, I want to rent it to somebody. And I want those rents. And that's what a king is that's paying you to own it versus like an Amazon may never give you a single bit of profit ever. They just may retain all their money.
Yeah. You're a cash flow guy. So you get it. You're a real estate cash flow guy. So you get the idea of essentially treating these consistent rental stocks the first set of rent is going to be dividends. And then we talk about in the investing rooms and we talk about on all the workshops that we do, we talk about how you can take that first layer of income and you can add on another one to two layers of income on top of it. So now you have, you know, potentially three incomes coming from the same block of capital.
How do you add the additional layers? What are the additional layers for you?
So if I'm doing kind of the, I guess I would call the more advanced strategy for that is selling puts initially, right? So I'm going to generate income on my cash. Mm-hmm. And that's my first set of income. If the stock falls down to the level at which I set the strike price at, then I own 100 shares. Now I can turn around and one, I get dividends. So that's income number two. And income number three is I can start selling a covered call, essentially renting out my stock, which means I'm agreeing to sell a stock that those 100 shares at a certain price if it gets to that price or above. And that also, because I'm the option seller, is going to generate an income for me that I get to keep regardless of what happens to the stock direction. So those three levels of income are ones that I would look to generate on it.
Yeah. And that, to me, that's like a compounder. That's the secret sauce that generates you much more income over a lifetime. A lot of folks don't realize that when you look at the stock market, about 40% of its gains are from the dividends. And if you're buying a company that doesn't have dividends, then you just cut a lot of your opportunities for gains.
Better be picking right?
Yeah, something we've never talked about, but your grandpa, is that what he focused in on? Was he looking at companies that were producing revenue that could live on, or what was his deal?
Well, he had a pension and Social Security back then. So, I mean, he was pretty stable with that. But I mean, he loved investing. So he focused on value. He was more of a value. He was what you would call as a value. Now, I caught him, of course, later on in life, right? I'm talking he was in his 70s and 80s when he was showing all this stuff to me. But yeah, he was definitely a value investor, loved dividends. You know, if you look at the portfolios that he had, and that money has passed on to the next generation, right? That's gone to my parents now. And so you look at those portfolios, a lot of those stocks are still in there, right? Those are just heavy dividend paying stocks that they bought way back then and still are holding.
It's interesting. Buffett's considered like the grandfather of value investing. I mean, I just say that tongue in cheek because he's like the prototypical value investor, right?
Yep.
Though he's changed a lot recently, some of the things that he's doing just to keep up with the times. But I think it was Coca-Cola when he bought Coca-Cola. The dividends that Coca-Cola is paying now would buy his shares, I think, on an annual basis. I forget the actual numbers, but it was like some ridiculous over the years. I think he bought them in the 80s. Over this period of time, the stock's grown and that dividend is still increasing every year, that now the dividends that he's receiving or just as a factor of the growth is enough to where it would buy all the shares. Like it covers the basis in those things.
Right. So he's playing with the house's money at this point, basically.
Oh, you're not just the house. Every year, it's like you're doubling for what you originally put into it. So that's how compounding works. It goes kind of fun. Any other things that you're looking at in with your crystal ball that you're thinking of in the future that you'd say people should be paying attention to?
I mean, I just think that, you know, from a Fed standpoint, I mean, I think they've been pretty clear that rates are going to stay low, which kind of signals, you know, look, buy assets, right? You know, you're going to have to be buying assets. And really the two things that you can throw precious metals and cryptocurrencies in there if you want, as maybe off to the side as like a non, and, you know, if you look at the Infinity model, maybe that falls into the cash portion. But generally speaking, I think what they're saying is real estate and stocks, right? We're kind of at a don't fight the Fed moment right now because they're printing and keeping rates low. That's how it looks right now. So until otherwise, I think that's what we need to be doing.
And keep your eye on inflation, right?
Yeah. Well, and you have to have assets that are going to outpace inflation. So
absolutely. Keeping it in cash is do it at your own risk right now. Make sure that cash is doing something.
Yep.
Generating some income. Eric, I really appreciate you coming on. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you?
I would love for them to go to the Infinity Portal, right? Because if they're not members of the Infinity Portal, they can they can sign up for that, or they can, if they are, they can go there and you've got my contact information there. You've got my email, eric@canyonridgegroup.com. Lots of different ways to get a hold of me, but
we'll throw that up there. Yeah. And if you're part of Infinity, by all means, you're going to run across Eric anyway. He teaches the Infinity workshop with me. We'll put the links up. You can always come in. It's free. It's not something that it's beating you over the head with anything. We have a group. We like to invest together and we like to grow together. And it's at a minimum, we have a monthly class that's free that people could certainly join. And there's enough videos in there to keep you busy for a long, long, long time. We got hours and hours and hours of this stuff. So anyway, thanks, Eric, for joining us. And I really appreciate your time and I hope that you got something out of it.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Cool.
See you next time.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast. And if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.